would like to introduce you to Pastor Reese. I asked her what she's speaking on, and she said, whatever Jesus wants me to. So let's focus in our hearts to hear, and please give a warm welcome for Pastor Reese.
Good morning, Edgewater. What other answer am I supposed to give? Like, I mean, if Jesus isn't here and if Jesus isn't speaking, then what are we doing here? What are we doing here? But it is good to be here with you all this morning. I met some of you the last time I was here. That was, I don't know, how long ago was that? Like a month ago? I don't know. But it's good to be here with you all again. Great to see your faces. We're going to jump right into the word this morning. So let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that it is a day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. God, we thank you that you are the giver of life, you are the giver of hope, you are the giver of joy, you are the giver of love because you are love. And so, God, we just pause in that reality right now and just say thank you. Thank you for who you are, thank you for who you've created us to be, and thank you for what you've called each of us to do and that we get to do it together. God, we pray that you would open our ears to hear from you in a fresh way this morning. We pray that you would open our eyes to see you in a fresh way. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive from you in a fresh way. We open our hands and we say, take whatever we're trying to hold on to. And then we leave them open long enough to receive what it is that you actually have for us. And God, most of all, we thank you for responsive lives, that we would do what you have invited us to do this morning. And so, God, we just give you this time and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I get to serve as your ministry development partner with the Pacific Southwest Conference of the Evangelical Covenant Church. Say that five times fast. Woo! But it's my great joy to partner alongside each of you, and not just because Pastor Steve and Rebecca are on their ministry renewal leave, but because we love y'all. If you didn't know, we love y'all. Pacific Southwest Conference loves you all, and we're grateful for your faithfulness and for what you're doing here in Pittsburgh. There's this great book by author and speaker Caroline Westerhoff, and the book is called Calling, Song of the Baptized. And in this book, she describes this story of a woman who is in her kitchen and she's cleaning the kitchen. It's a beautiful day outside, so she has the windows open and she has the doors open and she's just minding her business, cleaning her kitchen. And she's sweeping, sweeping, sweeping. All of a sudden, a wren, a small bird, wren, W-R-E-N, a wren flies into the kitchen and she's freaking out. And she's like, oh my goodness, there's a bird in my kitchen. And she's got the broom and she's swatting at it. And she's trying to get this bird out of her kitchen. And she hits the wren and it pounces on the wall and slides down the wall. She's like, oh my goodness, I just killed this bird and it's in my kitchen. And I've got to figure out what to do with this thing. So she gets a dustpan and she goes over to the wren and she sweeps it onto the dustpan and she goes out to the back deck and she lays it on the ledge. Surely this wren is dead. So let me just leave it on the ledge. She goes back inside. She closes the door. She goes back inside and she starts cleaning again. And out of the corner of her eye, she sees there's another wren that has come and has started to hover over the wren that she left on the ledge to die. And all of a sudden, this wren that is hovering over the other wren begins to sing a song. And the wren that was left on the ledge to die starts moving a little bit and starts moving its wings a little bit. And before she knows it, these two wrens fly off together. There was a wren that was left on the ledge to die, and another wren comes and hovers over this wren and sings a familiar song. I don't know what the song sounded like, but it was a song that brought comfort. It was a song that was familiar. It was a song that was recognizable to the wren that was left on the ledge to die. Wrens are small and active birds known for their loud and complex songs, and they're famous for their surprisingly powerful voices, which they use to defend their territory. So again, there's this wren left on the ledge to die. Another wren comes and hovers over it and begins to sing a song, and they both fly away together. My question to you all this morning, Edgewater, is who sings over you? The other question, not only who sings over you, but what does that song sound like? As I checked into the hotel yesterday, one of the things I like to do, I travel a lot, but one of the things I like to do is just open the windows and just let in some fresh air to that hotel room. And I didn't know it, but I was placed right above the pool. It's a nice day, so a mom and her kids are out at the pool, and they're just having a grand old time. I have plans of my own to, like, you know, go over this message and to pray and to rest, but my window is open, and the kids are out there with their mom having a grand old time. And there are lots of noises happening, lots of sounds happening. At one point, one of the kids obviously hurt themselves and began to cry, and so I paid attention to that sound. And then at one point, another kid was probably doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing, and the mom reprimanded that kid, and then there was that sound. And then there was the sound of joy and the sound of laughter and playfulness, all these different sounds all at one time. When I think of sounds and when I think of songs, I immediately go to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And this is where we will land this morning. Our time will be spent here in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, and we can read it together if you want. Let's read it together. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Again, when I ask the question, who sings over you? Perhaps you have found yourself as that dying wren left on the ledge to die. Who sings over you? God's song, and we'll discover in the book of Zephaniah, God's song over us, it sounds like joy, not judgment. It sounds like peace, not punishment. It sounds like calm instead of chaos. God's song that he sings over us, we will discover, it sounds like salvation, not scorn. And it sounds like delight instead of disappointment. Just a bit of context here. Zephaniah the prophet, as we know, a prophet is the mouthpiece of God. Zephaniah was one who received divine revelations and warned people of impending consequences. Zephaniah, in the Old Testament, he taught spiritual truths and guided the people during their time of moral crisis. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that it's filled with terrible leaders and lots of moral failure. But Zephaniah, this prophet, he had seen God's greatness and was transformed by it. He was a prophet whose family history is traced through four generations to Hezekiah, which is noted as one of the most righteous kings in Judah, who was known for his unwavering faith in God and his bold religious reforms. Zephaniah, this prophet, he was around during the reign of King Josiah, king of Judah, and he was a prophet whose preaching lent support to the prophet Jeremiah. So Jeremiah and Zephaniah, together they helped spark King Josiah's reforms. Zephaniah, he was a prophet who spoke of all of the charges that they were guilty of, the people were guilty of, but also of reforms and judgment and salvation and joy. Zephaniah the prophet, when there was prophetic silence throughout the land, he was the one who broke that silence. And so what do we learn from Zephaniah, the book itself? Although the book Zephaniah is only about half the size of the book of Amos, It includes many of the basic features of Amos. And why is this important? It's important because, again, at the time, the people, they just kept doing wrong. They just couldn't get it together. You, any parents? We don't have to talk about that right now. But they just couldn't get it together. And so, okay, here's the prophet Amos. And then, okay, here's the, you still don't get it. Here's the prophet Zephaniah. And in Zephaniah, in the book of Zephaniah, there are oracles against the foreign nations. There are oracles of indictment and judgment against God's people. They just couldn't get it right. There were admonitions and calls to repentance, but then there was also the language of promise in the book of Zephaniah. The book of Zephaniah elaborated on Amos's outline of the day of the Lord, showing just how dark the day of darkness could get if God really wanted to just wipe everybody out and start over. The book of Zephaniah, there were two main themes that dominated this brief book. First, there was the threat of imminent judgment in chapters 1 through 3. And then finally, the hope of ultimate deliverance in the very final verses of chapter 3. So it's like all this doom and gloom and judgment, and then, oh, but wait, there's hope. And this hope and this ultimate deliverance was for those who would escape God's fury when they humbly would seek refuge in the name of the Lord. So what's the point? Why does Zephaniah the prophet matter? Why does the book of Zephaniah matter? Why are you here today, Reese? What's the point? Shouldn't you be talking about how to stand firm in the midst of Pastor Steve's renewal and be faithful even though your leader is not here? Sure, I can talk about that, and maybe I'll talk about that when I come back on the 28th. But I want to talk about this today. And the point is that the people that Zephaniah was speaking to didn't get what they deserved. And God is with us in the same way today. Some of us have been living our lives so carelessly, and we deserve the punishment. We deserve the scorn. We deserve the indictment. But something happens instead. What happens instead? Again, God's song over us, it sounds like joy instead of judgment. It sounds like peace instead of punishment. It sounds like calm instead of chaos. God's song over us, and I'm so thankful for it, sounds like salvation instead of scorn. And it sounds like delight instead of disappointment. Why? Because the sinners were no longer among them, and there was but a remnant left who were meek and humble and chose to trust in the name of the Lord again, if you keep reading in chapter 3, verse 12. They were meek, they were humble, they chose to trust in the name of the Lord again. Yes, they were engaged in pride, they were engaged in social and spiritual apathy, they were engaged in moral corruption. I'm talking about the people in Zephaniah, not just the people today. They were engaged in idolatrous practices, they were engaged in religious degradation, and here's the really sad part about all of it, was that their officials and their kings and the leaders and the sons of the leaders were the worst ones. The ones who should have been leading the way were leading people astray. I'm talking about Zephaniah, not just today. So what they deserved for the pride and the social and spiritual apathy and the moral corruption, what they deserved was God's wrath. What they deserved for the idolatrous practices and the religious degradation, what they deserved was punishment and judgment. What they deserved was, yes, ecological catastrophe, just wipe everybody out and start over, God. But instead, what they received, and I want to suggest to you this morning, what we are able to receive, they received preservation. They received restoration. They received salvation. And when we talk about salvation, we're not just talking about our souls being redeemed. We're talking about this Greek word called sozo, complete healing and wholeness and deliverance. What they received instead of judgment and instead of wrath was this beautiful term called hesed. Active, steadfast love rooted in a promise or relationship. God goes far beyond what duty or obligation requires. That's what they received. And I want to suggest to you this morning that that is what we receive as well. They received this concept called agape love, this unconditional, unwavering, sacrificial love of God for humanity. And that is what we receive as well. What they received was forgiveness. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the prophet instructs the people, "Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you, and never again will you fear any harm." Again, what they deserved was wrath and punishment and destruction. But what they received was preservation and restoration and salvation and love and forgiveness. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And if we're being honest, when we've found ourselves in the state of pride, we found ourselves in the state of religious idolatry and religious corruption. We found ourselves in those places. Maybe with our thoughts, maybe with an unnecessary argument online with somebody that you don't even know over some political issues. Like, we found ourselves in those situations. And so for some of us, what prevents us from hearing the sound of joy, what prevents us from hearing God's song that he sings over us, is perhaps lack of forgiveness towards others. When he tells us to do what? Forgive 70 times 7. That's a lot. That's a lot of forgiveness. And he's like, "Yeah, have you met yourself? Because I forgive you more than that." But perhaps a lack of forgiveness towards others prevents us from hearing God's song that he sings over us. Perhaps shame. Shame prevents us from hearing the sound of joy and God's song that he sings over us. And shame is very different than guilt. Sometimes we think they're synonymous, and they're not. They're very different. Guilt says, "Ooh, I did something bad." Shame says, "I am bad." Guilt says, "I did something wrong." Shame says, "I am wrong." Shame is an indictment on your identity, who you are. Shame tries to cause you to cease to exist. And some of us carry that shame like we just can't take it off. We carry it like it's our skin. And perhaps that shame is preventing you from hearing God's song of joy over you. Perhaps just the noise of life. It is such a noisy world. News and social media and our children and our spouses and our own brains and our thoughts. And it's just such a noisy space. And we forget to be still and know that he is God. And that noise prevents us from hearing the sound of joy that God wants to sing over us. Perhaps our own sin prevents us from hearing the sound of joy and God's song over us. That the pride and the self-righteousness and our own sin, our lack of repentance, our lack of trusting in God again. "Oh, I got this. Yes, you flung the stars in the sky and the moon and you created the heavens. And yes, you did all that, but I can handle this." And then we get ourselves in trouble. And then we stay in that place of sin. And we forget, "Oh gosh, you said the wages of sin is actually death." Yeah, but the gift of God is eternal life. This sin nature, it prevents us from hearing God's song that he wants to sing over us. And so what's the conclusion, Reese? What does all of this have to do with anything? Like that wren that flew into this woman's kitchen, perhaps you have found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, but God still sings over you. Perhaps you have found yourself in a place of discomfort, but know that God still sings over you. Perhaps you have found yourself in a place of disdain and maybe even utter frustration. Why are they like this? Why is this like this? Oh, I can't stand any of it. Get me out of here. Know that God still sings over you. And even if you find yourself in a place of disobedience and rebellion, because we blame a lot of stuff on the devil, and the devil don't have nothing to do with it. It was us. We were drawn away by our own lustful desires, okay? So we have found ourselves in a place of disobedience, in a place of rebellion, and yet God still sings over us. And here's the beautiful thing about all of this, and I'm going to sit down, and we're going to finish service, and I'm going to get on the road and head back to Fresno. God's song sounds like joy. God's song sounds like salvation. God's song sounds like forgiveness. And his song sounds like love. And his love is everlasting. His love is unconditional. And his love never runs out. Our love runs out. Our patience runs out. Our forgiveness runs out, but God's love never runs out. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that it is his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. And it's his love that triumphs in the end. So I drove 2.5 hours to tell you all this. And I don't know who this is for, but open your ears and hear me well. Someone needs to know that God is not disappointed in you. God is not disappointed in you. As a matter of fact, he delights in you. He delights in you. And if you are able to trust in him again and open your, not just your ears, but open your hearts to hear the song that he's singing over you now. Again, it is a song of joy, not a song of judgment. It's a song of peace, not a song of punishment. It's a song of calm, not a song of chaos. It's a song of salvation, not a song of scorn. And it's a song of delight, not a song of disappointment. And so I want to pray this morning. For those of you who have found yourself trapped in a prison of shame, I don't know why this is weighing so heavily on me this morning, but Cindy, it is. If you have found yourself in a place of shame and you believe that God is utterly disappointed in you, and that he has actually turned his face away from you and doesn't even want to see you anymore, we want to break that in the name of Jesus. It's a lie straight from the enemy, and it does not belong to you. Shame is not your portion. Again, I don't know who this is for, but shame is not your portion. It does not belong to you. And so if that is you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not one of those types of preachers. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I do want to pray for you because I do believe that there is deliverance and there is freedom in this place today. And so if that is you and you have been trapped by shame, I want to pray for you. And if you want to, everyone can just close their eyes. And if that is you, you can lift your hand up. That's fine. But I do want to pray for you in Jesus' name. You have been trapped in shame. Yeah, I see you. I see you. Shame is not your portion. It doesn't belong to you. Scripture tells us, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There is no question about your freedom. There is no denial about your freedom. There is no doubt about your freedom, but you are free indeed. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you for the two who raised their hands. I thank you, God, that you have set your affection upon them. And there is nothing they can do. There is nothing they can say. There is nowhere they can run away from your love, away from your joy, away from your kindness, and away from your peace. So God, we make this holy and sacred and supernatural exchange. No more sadness, no more mourning, no more shame, but instead we claim your peace and your joy and your love and your forgiveness. God, we pray in Jesus' name that you would miraculously touch your son and touch your daughter, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that they have been set free from the bondage of shame, that they have been set free from the lies of the enemy that would try to creep in at night and try to, you say that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren anyway, and so the enemy is literally trying to disrupt their sleep at night, trying to tell them how bad of a person that they are and lying to them about their identity. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would remind them of your identity that you've placed on them and that they would begin to see themselves the way that you already see them. As those whose worth is far above rubies, as those who are the head and not the tail, as those who are more than conquerors, as those who have been chosen by you to do good works before the foundation of the world. That's what we claim for our brother and for our sister. Would you give them the courage to claim it for themselves? God, we say that you are good and your mercy endures forever and your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And we thank you that the shame is broken now in Jesus' name, that they would leave this place different than they came in Jesus' name. And again, we thank you that your song that you sing over us, it is a song of joy, not judgment. It is a song of peace, not punishment. It is a song of calm, not chaos. It is a song of salvation, not scorn. And it is a song of delight, not disappointment. And we claim that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we trust in him again, we throw off that shame, and we throw off the self-disappointment, we know that he sings over us. Would you just extend your hands as our benediction this morning? As you're extending your hands with your palms facing up, it really is a sign of, yes, surrender, but also being willing to let go of the things that you've been holding on to that don't belong to you, but also keeping your hands out long enough to receive what does belong to you. And so would you receive this benediction this morning? Our scripture from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Amen. 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 Go in peace, not in pieces.